The Final Hours of Muriel Hinchcliffe, MBE, by Claire Parkin. Read by Jenny Funnell. For R, who made everything possible, and H and E, who make everything even better. Oft have I heard that grief softens the mind and makes it fearful and degenerate. Think, therefore, on revenge, and cease to weep. Queen Margaret, second part of King Henry VI, William Shakespeare. Life's not fair, is it? Some of us drink champagne in the fast lane, and some of us eat our sandwiches by the loose chippings on the A597. Victoria Wood. Monday, 24th of June, 2019. Evening. A death is announced. Now that I think about it, it wasn't so much Muriel telling me she was going to die. It was more that she gave her death an actual date and time that unnerved me so much. I am well acquainted with Muriel's prophecies, unfailingly vague and melodramatic, invariably relating to her health or safety. A whispered, "Ruth, you mustn't leave me alone tonight. I feel the angel of death's icy palm caress my cheek during EastEnders." That sort of thing. Yes, I am very familiar with Muriel's predictions, which by now I am able to predict myself because they occur, without exception, when I have plans to go out for the evening. But that was the other curious thing. I had no such plans for tonight. I was a free agent, anticipating the familiar, comforting ups and downs of a night in with Muriel, a cup or two of chamomile tea, a game of Scrabble, a furious row. It had been an unseasonably cool, wet June, and I was sick to the back teeth with the relentless grey of it all, with everything feeling so damp and claggy, inside and out. It would have been so pleasant, had things not taken the turn that they did, to have curled up in my usual armchair next to the electric fire, having finally persuaded Muriel to switch the blasted thing on. As it was, when she made her declaration, I was on my knees, scouring the dry skin from her heels, while she reclined in her wheelchair, the soles of her feet raised with the aid of a heavily embroidered velvet cushion, a crimson pom-pom-edged monstrosity that even I consider prehistoric, and I am just as old as Muriel. Only 15 seconds separate our forays into the world, 76 years ago. Her feet were an absolute sight, and I felt deeply ashamed of my lack of care because I am Muriel's carer, as well as lifelong friend and confidant. There is no one but me to look after her, and the crusted skin, ram's horn nails and cheesy fungal infection burgeoning between her toes, betrayed the shabby, neglectful creature I truly am. What else do I remember? I know we were listening to the Archers. Or rather, Muriel was listening, as I scrubbed away with a pumice stone, dipping it intermittently into a bowl of soapy water, while she frowned and shushed me. I don't recall what I was thinking, though I did notice the sun's glare spotlighting the greasy fingerprints on the bay window, which caused me to cast a more critical eye than usual over the rest of the room, before wishing I hadn't, because, oh God, the mess. Dirty dishes, at least 3 days' worth, stacked on the hostess trolley at Muriel's side, mounds of OK and Hello magazines spewing over the seats and arms of two brown leather, button-back sofas, crusty ferns and parlour palms sulking over the rims of the chinoiserie planters, and deep layers of dust blanketing absolutely everything. Bookshelves, table nests, dado rails, the TV set, and a teak cabinet displaying a collection of curios acquired during Muriel's lifetime. Her grandfather's leech jar, a maiden aunt's wooden leg, 2 glass asthma inhalers left behind by Harvey, and a stuffed ginger tomcat that had, in fairness, belonged to my mother. The state of the room, and I hold my hand up to this, is in no small part down to my domestic ineptitude. But I'm not the only one at fault here. The elephant in this house is Muriel, or rather Muriel's short arms, deep pockets, and downright pig-headed refusal to put a penny towards renovating the place. Edwardian houses, I often tell her, do not